Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Football is such an interesting sport in so many ways, but the strategy is one of the biggest influences and attractions to people. Well, there's a game called Strat-O-Matic where you use that strategy against an opponent in a board game form, and we're going to talk about it with a guest in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and it's Saturday, and it's Game and Hobby Day here in the Pigpen, and we have a very exciting game to talk about today, and an older game that has its foundations in the game of football, and it is Strat-O-Matic. I'm sure all of us, when we were younger, or maybe in this age, have played Strat-O-Matic or heard of Strat-O-Matic. Well, we've got an expert on the game of Strat-O-Matic, and as a matter of fact, he is from my hometown of Erie, Pennsylvania, lives in the suburbs sort of like I do, and his name is Mike Kane, and we'll bring him in right now. Mike Kane, welcome to the Pigpen.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. Yeah, it's kind of odd that we met in Canton, Ohio, having lived in the same town. I don't officially work for Strat-O-Matic, but I kind of work as a consultant, helping with the game. I'm a beta tester, and I help produce some of the computer seasons for the computer football game. I first became a football fan back in 1970. I saw Super Bowl V, was a Cowboys fan. I was actually born in Cleveland, and my dad was a big Browns fan, so we used to watch the Browns games together on Sundays. That's how I got kind of hooked on football. And in the mid-1970s, when I was about 10, 11 years old, I bought my first Strat-O-Matic board game, and I was kind of hooked from then on. The game company itself began in the early 60s, the owner and creator of the game's name is Hal Richman. He started with baseball, just doing small sets of like 60 players, 80 players, but it didn't really catch on. And in 1963, he finally released a full set of all 20 teams at the time with 20 players per team, and it caught on and took off from there. And then in the later 60s, he decided to branch out and come up with a football game. And the first version they released was based on the 1967 season. The game actually had two versions. There was an elementary version and an advanced version. And in both versions, there are primarily six offensive plays. There's a line buck, an off tackle, and an end run, and then a flat pass, similar to a screen pass, a short pass, and a long pass. And the game originally came with 16 cards, 11 skill players, two quarterbacks, four running backs, three wide receivers, and two tight ends. There were three cards for the defense, and then there were a specialist card that was double-sided that had the returners and the kickers on one side, and then there was a rating card which had the offensive lineup on one side and defensive lineup on the other side. The basic gameplay is based on a 50-50 split. Plays are resolved by rolling three dice, one unique color from the other two. If the unique dice is a 1, 2, or 3, you look to the offensive card for the results. If it's 4, 5, or 6, you go to the defensive cards. And on the offensive player's cards, there's a right and wrong column. And then on the basic defensive cards, there's just one column for each play type. When you get into the advanced game, it uses the game board, which is segmented into a defensive line area, which has spots for defensive linemen. And then also there are blitz zones in between each lineman. And then the linebackers are located in the look-in and flat pass area. And then you have a short pass zone with three defenders and a long pass zone with a free safety. And in the advanced game, besides just guessing right and wrong, you can move your defenders into different areas on the board to strengthen those areas. But at the same time, you're also weakening another area. So it kind of makes it a cat and mouse game where you can kind of affect the results of the plays. And on for the majority of the game, the results are on the cards. There are very few extra charts. So you can look at a player's card and instantly tell how good that player is without having to translate the results off of a chart somewhere else. There's a short gain chart, which ranges from 10 to 20 yards and is basically the die roll plus the number 8. So if you roll snake eyes, it's 10 yards. If you roll box cars, it's 20 yards. There's a long gain chart, which ranges from 35 yards to an automatic touchdown. And then there's an interception return chart, which has touchdowns on it or possibly 0 yard gain. So it's very easy to, very visible game. There's nothing black box about it. And when they translated to the computer version, they kept all the card visibility. It's very much still based on the card game.
Okay, so let me just get an idea here for the listeners. And I'm trying to remember back, so it's been probably 40-some years since I've played the game. Now, the cards are based on statistics of actual players of each era that they're talking about, correct?
Correct, yeah. Each year they release a new set of cards, and they occasionally release retro seasons. We've done that. And also, I mentioned the advanced game, some of the readings on the player cards have rating comparisons, which are then based on that white die or the unique die roll. So you may have a result on the defensive card where it says onside tackle 0 or plus 5. And then based on that player's individual rating, you would get either of the yardage. If his rating beats the die roll on defense, you would get the lower yardage.
Okay, so now is that how they sort of compensate? So sort of like a quarterback, if you had Bob Greasy playing from the early 70s, you know, the stats where they didn't throw that much, the ball that much in that era. But now compared to somebody, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, is that how they sort of compensate? Is just that stats and that dice roll?
Right. Well, and the stats are also kind of average to the mean for that season. So a player who exceeds the league average by quite a bit will have a better card. A player that's close to the league average, his card may not look as good, even though statistically it might be better than somebody in a previous year. So like back in the 1970s, if you completed half your passes, you were really good. Now in the 2010s, you have to complete at least 60% of your passes to be considered really good. It's an average to the compared to the mean for that season. So that does allow you to play some cross-era games because their players are related to how they performed in that season.
You could have the 2016 Patriots playing the 1972 Dolphins then
yes.
Or something of that. Like, okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. Yeah, and they're very compatible. You do run into some issues with the number of players, whereas in the 70s, you'd have maybe 4 or 5 good running backs. And now and later on, you may have 1 or 2 good running backs just because of the way the formations have changed over the years.
Gotcha.
The game does adapt to the different styles. So you can play a pro set offense like the 72 Dolphins with Zonka and Kick or Zonka and Morris. And you can play the 3 wide receiver formations of the current day. So the game does allow you to play different formations.
Oh, okay. Now, how does that work out? Now, how do you have like a special chart you go off on that for your formation?
Yeah, there's a chart. And then each formation, there's pluses and minuses. So if you're playing with, say, 2 tight ends, that would increase your run blocking. But then the lone wide receiver gets followed by one of the defensive players, no matter where he goes. So there's always trade-offs to every formation.
So, sort of like actually playing a game of football.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's you can play zone. You can play a nickel. You can play a prevent defense. But there's all, again, there's some trade-offs. However you do it, you get a benefit, but you also get a penalty.
Now I've heard many people say that Stratomatic is probably the best simulated series of play for the game of football because of the cat and mouse, chess game, if you will, because there's so much strategy involved, just like the real game is. Like you said, you go into a two tight end set, you know, you have a better chance of running the ball, just like you do in real football.
Right,
you go four wides, you've got a better chance of completing a pass. So
right.
Very interesting.
It is quite a bit of a chess match. Just kind of go back with the history for the 1982 season, they did a major revision to the game. They changed how some of the cards were laid out. They also were changing with the, one back offense that the Redskins, if I can say the Redskins, popularized in the early 80s. And that the 49ers were getting the West Coast offense. So they kind of adjusted to that. And that was also the first season that the NFL tracked sacks as an official stat. So they added to the game that defenders had a pass rush rating and offensive linemen had a pass block rating. So when certain dice rolls would come up, you would check the individual players to see if there was a possible sack.
So even
that added a little more strategy when you were blitzing players. So add a little more to the cat and mouse game. So if you're blitzing somebody, you're leaving a zone open on the board.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, when did the computer game come out?
The computer game came out in 2000. And when they did make the version change in the early 80s, older seasons were incompatible with the new game. So when the computer game came out in 2000, they released the 1998, 99, and 2000 seasons. And there was a gamer, his name was Ron Brammer. He was working on in the 80s, converting these older teams to the newer format. And he was doing individual teams. And he was doing this for tournaments that he would hold in the Midwest. I actually went to one of his tournaments in 2000, 2001, and got to meet him. And just prior to that, he and I were talking about making these cards. So the game company enlisted him to do these older seasons. He did 1966, which had never been done in any format before. And then he did four other seasons that he converted from the old format to the new format for the original release of the computer game. And also when the computer game came out, they came with customized computer managers. So they provided a competitive opponent for a lot of gamers who maybe in their area didn't have anybody to play with. When I grew up, I didn't have anybody in my area that was playing the game, so I had to play a lot of solitaire. And it's a little bit difficult playing solitaire. But the game also came out with a internet component, which allowed you could play with anybody all over the world. And a bunch of leagues started popping up. I was in a league playing people in California, in Western Canada. I know there were a couple of leagues that had a guy from Italy that was playing in them. So you could just schedule games and you would play head to head. And head to head is the best way to play the game because of the cat and mouse feature. And even better than that is playing face to face. When you catch somebody with a vacated zone or something and look on their face. It's just a lot of fun playing that way. The reason I got involved was this Ron Brammer, unfortunately passed away in 2002. Several years prior to that, I had met some guys on a bulletin board, the old BBS. And one of the guys had talked about making a card for a player that Stratomatic didn't card. It was Lawrence Phillips who played for the Rams and was traded to the Dolphins. And they didn't make a card for him that year, so he wanted to make his own card. And then he started discussing making a complete season. And he was a Bears fan and wanted to do 1965 because of Butkus and Sayers. And this is still pre-computer game. So a bunch of us got together and kind of worked out a plan that we were going to find existing cards in our collection, match them up stat-wise with some of the players in 1965, and then create cards. Well, back when I was younger in the late 70s and early 80s, was a budding computer programmer, I had written on my Commodore 64 some programs to call plays against me or call plays for both teams so I could play the game. And when we started working on this project, I modified my program into Visual Basic, and I had set it up so that I could enter the card results and create play callers and let the game play by itself. So then we would make our cards, I'd key them in, we'd run about 20 seasons worth of games, and I would log every dice roll, whether it came from the guessed right column, the guessed wrong column, the defensive card, and we could analyze the stats to see where we were at. Then we would tweak their cards a little bit, and we'd run some more seasons. Well, we finished the 1965 NFL and AFL seasons and made them available on the internet. And when I went to for this tournament, I showed Ron Brammer the cards and that, and he was impressed with them. And after he passed, one of his good friends gave my name to the game company and suggested maybe I take over for Ron for doing retro seasons, which were the pre-1982 seasons. So I talked with the game company and we made an arrangement. 1965 was the first season that we issued. And then at that point, I started doing two retro seasons a year for them. And with this, with the current release now, just a few weeks ago, we have every season from 1956 through 2020. Also the 1983 and 84 USFL seasons. And then I also did a special project, a franchise set, which was a group of the best players for each franchise for the 28 franchises up through 1998. I excluded Carolina and Jacksonville. There weren't enough players for a franchise for them yet. But it was kind of a best of set that we issued, which was very popular. So that's kind of how I got involved with the game company.
Wow, very interesting. Now, I guess a recent question, a recent development maybe affects what you did. Now, I'm sure you're aware of the Pro Football Reference has gotten access into some of the sack records and tackle records prior to 1982, the work of John Turney and Nick Webster that has been published on Pro Football Reference. Does that change any of the way those earlier teams are looked at? I think it goes from like 1960 something to 1981.
Yeah, it does change. I was kind of bemoaning they're about 20 years too late with that. I did do a lot of research for those. A lot of the teams in their media guides did track sacks prior to them becoming official. And also part of when I joined PFRA, they have game books on their website. And I would pour through those looking through the play-by-play for sacks. I also made several trips to the Hall of Fame to look at the game books that they have to figure out sacks. And the rest was kind of just like taking team totals and just allocating them to get the team right more than individual players.
Okay, so that's starting to make the connection to me now. You know why you're a football historian. You're going through all these actual stats to produce these game cards from some football teams of yesteryear and try to make them as accurate as possible. Is that pretty an accurate assessment?
Yes. I've like subscribed to newspapers.com. I would read through old newspapers. I have. Thanks to my uncle, I have Sporting News going back to 1965. I would go to the library, read the New York Times, any info that I could possibly get my hands on to try and find information. If players missed games, if they were injured. One of the features, too, that I kind of introduced to the game and kind of borrowed from their baseball game, they had a starting pitcher file. So I did a lot of research and we created a starting quarterback file that when you play the game, if you use that file, it will use the actual starting quarterback for each game.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, you talked a little bit about you went and met these folks at a tournament. Now, are there still tournaments going on in this day and age, or are they mostly internet tournaments?
No, actually, I'm going out there in 2 weeks. We hold it in Bloomington, Illinois. This year, we're going to have 22 football players, which is one of our bigger totals. Usually, we have between 16 and 25. And there's also, we're going to have 9 hockey players. They usually have between 6 and 9 hockey players. And we play face-to-face. We started in 2000. Last year was the first, it was postponed because of the pandemic. But we've met every year since then. Usually we play one game on Friday night. We play, this is an odd number, you have a bye. But we play a 4-game round robin Friday and Saturday. And then usually the top either 8 to 12 teams qualify for the playoffs on Sunday in a single elimination tournament. And if you didn't qualify for the playoffs on Sunday, we have a consolation tournament where you can select other teams and just play for a backup trophy.
Oh, nice.
But it's a lot of fun, a lot of good guys. We see each other like 3 days a year, but we're like lifelong friends.
Well, that's quite an interesting way to have a friendship from the same passion. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, how long does a game at one of these tournaments take to play from start to finish?
Probably, depending on the experience level, anywhere from at the quickest an hour and a half to maybe 2.5 hours, because we're keeping individual stats. And as part of the tournament, there are usage limits on running backs. So you have to kind of keep track of your number of carries, keep detailed stats, but typically most games around 2 hours.
Okay. And so you're figuring you have about 20 individuals playing the football brand of Strat-O-Matic and 9 or so of the hockey version of it. Now, do they have tournaments for like the baseball version of this also?
Yes. There's an organization. I know they used to be called the Star Tournament. But they have several regional tournaments. They have national tournaments there's, I think, 6 different regions. And then within those regions, they have other tournaments. I know just in our area, there's Pittsburgh, Cleveland, I think Buffalo, Harrisburg, Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. So quite a bit of play going around the area here then.
All their games, they do have the visibility that you can look at a card and instantly evaluate somebody, whether it's basketball, hockey, college football, or football. There's no kind of extra charts or even the computer. The computer game has a couple company kind of black box things that they, special ratings that they use. But for the most part, everything is kind of visible. You can kind of see what happened and why it happened with the game. It's still very playable.
Okay. And you said you're still, even with the computer module, you're still using physical cards that you hold in your hand.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And for a long time, in the early mid-80s, I was helping a friend of a friend move. And I saw that he had the Strat-O-Matic baseball and football cards and found out they had a league locally. So I got into those. I've been in the baseball league ever since then. And the football league, we kind of had some owners fall off. And we occasionally do tournaments locally just amongst our group of guys, but we still play face-to-face.
Wow, very cool. Very, very cool. Okay, now, you said, told me before we came on that there is a really good website for anybody that's interested in getting involved. Maybe somebody that's playing a lot of solitaire or somebody that used to play, you know, Strat-O-Matic football or any of the other sports and wants to get involved in it again. If you could maybe give the call signs out for this website.
Okay. It's Strat Fan Forum, StratFanForum. There's a section for each of the games, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. There's areas to join leagues or look for leagues. There's a resource section for downloading logos or photos or field backgrounds for the games. The games are very customizable. You can add player pictures. You can add like basketball courts or NFL fields. There's a bunch of help files. And then there's some leagues that have their own sections set up where they conduct drafts or post-game results. There's replay sections for each of the sports where gamers can post their replays as they're playing along if they want to post box scores. And majority of the guys are very helpful if you have questions. If you're a new guy, have a question on something, there's always somebody willing to jump in and help.
Okay. Now, can you purchase the game on the site also, or is there someplace else?
This is more of just a help site. The actual game company, Stratomatic.com, is where you can purchase the games. The computer games are downloadable, so you don't have to wait for a mail delivery. You can purchase additional seasons that you can download. You can purchase the physical cards from the website. If you purchase, say, like the hockey game, for some of the seasons, where you can purchase like a 6-team set, but then there's a download file that they'll give you the rest of the teams. You can print off on your own.
Okay.
And for some of the retro football seasons, rather than printing full seasons, they also did a 6-team set of the 6 best teams. We just did 1987 was the last retro season. So there you purchase a 6-team set of the 1987 teams.
Gotcha. Now, is there a place on either one of these sites where somebody, let's say that's new, that wants to get comfortable playing the game, so they want to do a little bit of solitaire, is there an avenue to do that on the computer?
Yeah, the computer, there's a computer game lobby that you can log into and look for opponents, or you can go on to this StratFan forum and request to play a game against somebody.
Okay. All right. Now, here's the big question, Mike. Now, when you're going into these tournaments, what's your go-to team?
The tournament that we go to, we started alternating eras because we're kind of getting the same teams over and over again. So this year we're doing post-1980 teams. And we've also retired some teams that have won the championship. And then also teams that were used in the previous cycle are also temporarily unavailable. But one of my go-to teams is the 91 Redskins.
Okay.
They have a strong offense and a pretty good defense. A lot of offensive versatility with the running backs and the wide receivers. This year it happened, we just had the draft order. So I'm drafting 21st out of 22. So I'm going to be kind of limited on who I take.
Well, hopefully you'll get somebody good there so you can be competitive with the other fellows that are there. So, and I'm sure is it all gentlemen to play, or is there some of the ladies too?
One of the guys' daughter-in-laws came out and she played 3 years in a row. I think she was like 2-10 for her 3 seasons, but she was competitive in her games.
Nice. Okay.
So it's a wide variety of ages. We have some guys that are in their early 20s. We have some guys that are in their 60s that are playing. And the last hockey tournament 2 years ago, when we were there, one of the guy's sons, he was 14, was playing.
Wow. All right.
So we're recruiting the younger guys. And I have a nephew that's just getting into hockey, and I told him about it. So I started teaching him the hockey game because he wants to go on the trip now.
Well, that's awesome. And you can span the generations, you know, because you sort of think of that more of like a game from the early 1970s, early 80s, you know, in that era before the computer. So this is great that they were able to morph into the computer age and still have the success that they're having. So good for them. Well done by all of you.
They've also branched out. They do have some digital apps. They have some online baseball leagues. One of the neat ones is they'll have a decade and they'll have players, but they won't tell you which season of theirs you're getting. So you could be drafting the last season of their career, or you could get their rookie season, or you could get one of their prime years. So you don't kind of know. It's kind of a surprise until you get your team all drafted. And you can play, and you can play head to head, or they can simulate the season for you. I was help testing the football one where we drafted teams and picked an offensive style, and then overnight they would simulate the games for us.
Okay.
They also have a version of the computer baseball game called Baseball Daily, where as opposed to waiting for the next season, the players are updated after each day. So after like tonight's games, tomorrow morning, there'll be a file to download where they update the players based on their year-to-date stats.
Okay.
And kind of play along with the current season.
All right. All right. Now, I got kind of a question that maybe you can answer for me. I'm sorry, this one popped in my head. Okay, so you've played the old school way where no computer at all, and now you've played the new era game of using the computer. Okay, now I know there's a lot of benefits to having the computer. You don't have to look up stats and as much. But what is one thing of the new computer era that you don't like as much? You prefer it back the old way? If any, maybe there isn't.
Well, one of the things that, and some people ask about this, is having house rules for the game. The computer kind of limits that they have a set of rules for the game. It doesn't allow a lot of flexibility to kind of customize it. But in our league, our face-to-face league, we had some custom rules. We had our own injury chart compared to the one the game uses. So some of that flexibility is not there. But the game company has in recent years kind of provided some flexibility for guys that run draft leagues, because the game is designed to be played with stock teams, and that's when you get the best results. But a lot of guys, because of fantasy, they draft their teams, start draft teams from scratch, and then carry players over from year to year. So they've provided some flexibility in the game where if you happen to have two left offensive tackles, it allows you to play one of them at right tackle. So you're not having to scramble for extra players and stuff like that. So they've made some allowances for the draft leaguers. And there also is one of the other gamers who also helps with the game company. He created a set, rather than using the stock defensive cards, he created different sets of defensive cards at different levels of strength. And they're more ratings driven rather than results driven for draft leagues. So it'll ask for your cornerbacks rating more with these defense draft cards than it would the stock team cards. So they've kind of worked to help on the draft leagues, and the draft leagues are one of the bigger things now. Well, a lot of guys still like the stock, playing with a stock team, but they're kind of evolving to help the draft leagues out.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the suggestions that get into the game do come from, like I mentioned, the starting quarterback file do come from gamers. They make suggestions, and if the game company feels that it's something that has a good balance to the play and adds to the game, then they'll incorporate it. And they've done this for all their games.
Well, you got to give the people what they want. That's smart customer service there, that's for sure. Well, Michael, this is very exciting. I'm glad to hear that this game is still thriving and going strong. People like yourself are playing it all over the world. You said even Italy and some folks playing. That's great. Italy, Canada, and a lot of places around the States. Appreciate it. Again, that website, if you're interested in getting involved with the game, is stratfanforum.com. I'll put a link to it in the show notes of this podcast. We'll also have it on pigskindispatch.com for this Stratomatic episode blog. And Michael, any final words before we let you go?
Thanks for having me. It was nice running into you in Canton, and hope we can stay in touch.
Oh, most definitely. I think we're going to be fast friends here, especially I'm interested in seeing how your gameplay is here in the Stratomatic. You have to show me the ropes here possibly one of these days.
Okay.
So
sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.